Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
ESPN continues 50-50 month, honoring and exploring the first 50 years of Title IX and the woman moving the world forward. Tonight, ESPN Films presents 37 Words, a series on the history and impact of Title IX. Soccer greats Julie Foudy, Abby Wambach, and Mia Hamm discuss what it will take for women's sports to realize the full promise of equality.
I always felt, as a player, especially with our first iteration of the women's league, it's like you should be grateful that we even have a league. Yeah. Or you should be grateful we have a national team. Like, shut up and sit down. You should be grateful.
I want it to be over with, though. I want there to be equality.
You know what Billie Jean always says? Someday, I hope, we don't even need a women's sports foundation.
Yes.
Like, someday we shouldn't need a Title IX because it will just be there. So there's not a law requiring it.
It's the right thing to do.
Yeah, we do it.
Just any way we can get more women in leadership positions, positions of power where decisions are made, for women that are being, that are playing in the positions that we once had. So important. Because at the end of the day, we could be out in the world pounding pavement going, we need more seats at the table. Actually, we need to own the freaking table.
Fascinating series. Tune in tonight to see parts 3 and 4 of 37 Words at 8 Eastern on ESPN. And welcome back to Get Up. I'm Ryan Smith in for Greeny. We're coming to you live from the Seaport. We're brought to you by Chase. I got Tim Bontemps, Dan Graziano here talking football and basketball. So, Cindy, let's get to it and get up with Kyrie Irving. The Nets guard decides to stay in Brooklyn. Why he had over 36 million reasons to opt in. And now that his old running mate is staying put, what does that mean for the King? And here's the question. How can the Lakers improve his court? And he's now a Super Bowl champ, but can he repeat the feat away from L.A.? What might Odell get back on the field, and is he the missing piece for a Super Bowl contender? Let us start with the big story of the day, Kyrie Irving telling The Athletic on Monday that he is opting into his $36.5 million option with the Brooklyn Nets for next season. Now, earlier today, we had Adrian Wojnarowski on, and here's what he had to say about Kyrie's decision.
He ran out of leverage to get the long-term deal that he wanted, either in a sign-and-trade scenario or with the Nets. And I think those are really the two rails he was playing. And the third thing, the threat of going to the Lakers on an opt-out at their $6 million exception. And so Kyrie Irving did not give up $30-plus million for next season. So he opts back into his deal with Brooklyn, and now, of course, he could be a free agent after next season.
All right, so that's where things stand right now. Let's bring our guys back in. Zach Lowe, Seth Greenberg joining me, and Tim Bontemps here. So, Tim, Woj said it. He ran out of leverage. Maybe that $6 million thing was not going to work out given all the money he would have left on the table. What does that mean for you in terms of where Kyrie is right now?
Well, right now it means he's on the Brooklyn Nets for next season. That's all that really matters, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, we'll see what happens down the road with him, where things go. But for the Nets, this is what they wanted. They wanted Kyrie Irving on a short-term commitment in Brooklyn, which means Kevin Durant is in Brooklyn and happy, and this team is a championship-caliber team. The rest of it, all the noise around it, at the end of the day, the Nets have a championship caliber roster, and they still do because they have Kevin Durant on the team. And that was what all of the stuff about Kyrie Irving was about. Can they have Kevin Durant on the team and happy? And now they did it without having to give Kyrie Irving what he wanted, which was, as Adrian said, a long-term maximum contract extension.
So
instead, it's on a one-year deal. Now it's up to Kyrie to prove it.
So essentially, they played a game of chicken and they won.
That is exactly what happened here. This was a negotiation, a very expensive, high-stakes negotiation, where both sides were daring the other to give in, and Kyrie lost.
Wow. And so, Zach Lowe, what does winning now mean for the Nets? What does it look like for the Nets?
Yeah, the Nets won today. We'll see how long the win lasts and how long this continues. But yes, today they have Kyrie Irving on their team, which means they have Kevin Durant on their team. They still have Ben Simmons on their team. Yes, on paper, this team could do a lot of damage in the Eastern Conference. I just need to see it play out. And we'll go from there. But yeah, this is a win for the Nets. I still don't really understand why there couldn't be like a 2+1 compromise, a 2+1 deal like that. I thought that just made more sense for both sides. The Nets get a little more certainty that way. But this is where we are. This is a win. And now it's take 5, 6, 7, whatever it is, for the Nets to turn a theoretical team into a real team, because there are real teams at the top of the Eastern Conference who actually played together, have experience together, and so the Nets are now trying to catch up to them. We'll see, but I keep saying, yeah, on paper, Kyrie, KD, Ben Simmons, great fit. Ben doesn't have to create offense on the ball. He could be their Draymond Green, all that. Okay, let's see it. Like, I'd like to see the team play first.
Okay, so that's where we stand now. And Seth, I wonder, what do Kyrie and KD need now? Because they've got championship hopes. It's championship or bust for this team in many ways. What do they need now?
They need to get Ben Simmons healthy and get Ben Simmons to be part of that big three. Everyone talks about having to have a big three. Well, you know what? They have a big three if Ben Simmons is healthy. You're going to see the best of Kyrie Irving this year. There's no doubt about it. Why? He'll play 70-plus games. Why? Because he wants a max deal. How do you get a max deal? You show that you're going to be available. You show that you're going to play at a high level. All right? He wants that. He didn't get it. He had no options. Now what they got to do is KD and Kyrie Irving have got to put their arms around Ben Simmons, get him, not get him healthy, but hopefully he's healthy, and then include him. Because you cannot have a championship caliber team if your three best players, I don't care if it's high school, college, the NBA, any sport, if your best players aren't on the same page, you can't have championship DNA. So they've got to go and connect with Ben Simmons. If that means this summer, once a week or once every other week, go and spend time with Ben Simmons, they've all got to get on the same page. If they get on the same page and they are healthy, this is a very dangerous team. They probably need one more perimeter defender, I think. But besides that, this is a very, very dangerous team.
To Zach's point about the theoretical versus the actual with this team, to Zach's point about the theoretical versus the actual with this team, that graphic was amazing in that it said that Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving in 3 years together, including the playoffs, have played a combined 58 games together, right?
Yeah.
That for all the stuff we've talked about with this team, they've played 58 games out of, 200 probably over that stretch together. These guys need to be on the court. That's what this is all about.
But is that all this is about? I mean, we talk about there needing to be a culture. They needing to be accountable to each other. Is it just as simple as they got to be on the court together and we see how it plays out?
Yes. I think it's that simple. Because, again, we can't even guarantee that that is going to happen, right? For everything that's been said about this Nets team, we can't guarantee these three guys are going to be on the court. We don't know what the situation with Ben Simmons' back is. We don't know what the situation is with Kyrie going forward. Like, this is where they've been. They've been the championship theoretical team since Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving got to Brooklyn. Now, with Kyrie on this one-year deal, looking to get a max deal next summer, after everything that's gone on, it's time for this team to actually be on the court and play. And if they do, we saw the one time these guys were sort of together on the court 2 years ago, they were this close to beating the Bucks in the second round, and they very well made it one on to win the championship for everything else that's happened.
Yeah,
yes, let's see if they're not going to actually be on the court.
Go ahead, Zach, go ahead.
Well, you know what else happened in that same round of the playoffs is that Ben Simmons melted down because he was afraid to get fouled and go to the free throw line and hasn't played basketball in an NBA game since then, 14 months ago. Like, I just got to see it first. Who's the fifth guy in their lineup with Kyrie, Joe Harris, Ben, and KD? Is it a big guy? Is it a small guy? Is it Bruce Brown? Is Joe Harris? What kind of role does he have next year? How do they retool this roster? Because they do have some things to play with. I think the Nets are going to be busier in the next 4 or 5 days than people think they will be, trying to retool this team around these big three that we have never seen play together. And yeah, Kyrie opted in. He's now an expiring deal. I agree there are reasons for optimism that he's going to play 65, 70 games and play really well. I voted him all NBA 2 seasons ago, so I guess count me as an optimist. But anybody in an expiring deal is in an expiring deal. You got 1 year to make it work. Drama is always possible. I just, you know, we'll see what happens.
I feel like drama is probable with this team.
I would say definite, not probable. It's just a matter of how much.
It's probable, but it's in its best interest not to be probable. The most important thing is Ben Simmons is healthy. If Ben Simmons is healthy and there's a standard and accountability amongst those three guys, There's got to be a standard and accountability that starts up top with general manager, coaching staff, and everyone else. If there's an accountability and you have those three guys healthy, you have a chance to have a special team. They need a little front court help in terms of rim protection, and they probably need a perimeter defender. But the pieces are there. But there's got to be an accountability and a standard of expectation of how we're going to carry ourselves each and every day. And I don't think the Nets have had that. That's a big part of creating a winning culture.
Yeah, all that being said, it still comes back to the fact they just haven't been on the court.
No, but do you think they have that winning culture, though? Because I think Seth has a really good point here.
There are so many good teams in the East. You can't have a winning culture if you're not on the court.
Okay.
That's what this comes down to.
So you're saying that's step one.
Yes. Step one is, to Zach's point, Ben Simmons hasn't played in 14 months. Kyrie Irving, we didn't know where he was going to be 24 hours ago. We're still not exactly sure, but for now he's a Net, and he's signed for next year, right? Let's see them actually be on the court. They played 58 games in three seasons. It's 19 games a season, including the playoffs. It's no games at all. So let's see if they can be on the court for 60 games this season.
That's
the first step before you get to any of this other stuff about having structure and culture and everything else. Just actually be on the court playing basketball.
It's a great point. I love this graphic, by the way. Keep this up for just a second. That graphic that just came up about the notable Nets players. And, Zach, you look at this. Ben Simmons, Kyrie, KD, Joe Harris, Seth Curry, each hitting 44% on threes. I mean, this to me, like you say, on paper, looks like a team that should win the title. Is that the ceiling? Is I know you're saying it's not an actual squad yet, but are we looking at a title winner if these things come together?
So Giannis Antetokounmpo just heard you say that team looks like a team that should win the title and looked at his TV screen and was like, really? That team should win the title over us? Jason Tatum just looked at that screen and was like, they're going to win the East over us? The Warriors, Draymond Green, you better hope Draymond Green didn't hear you say that because he might come after you on Twitter. Like, that team should win the title? Should? Maybe. Like, I think that's a great lineup. If you put shooting around Kevin Durant, Ben Simmons, and Kyrie Irving with Seth Curry and Joe Harris is like two of the best shooters in the world, yeah, that lineup is going to be unstoppable. You're not going to be able to guard that lineup. Is it going to be able to guard the other best lineups in the NBA? Will it even matter? Will they just be so good offensively that it doesn't matter? I mean, we'll see. But I just can't anoint them like that. By the way, are we sure that they're going to have all those guys on the team next year in terms of Curry and Harris? I think it's going to be interesting to see what the team actually looks like next year.
In terms of ceiling, sure. But again, let's see them actually be on the basketball court together.
Yeah,
let's see that first.
You guys all just reminded me, I just put my foot in my mouth, and I will not be checking my Twitter for at least 2 days. So there you have it. All right, guys, we're going to have a lot more on this story. But first, I want to get to the comeback of the night. In baseball, A's, Yankees. What a game this was. Bottom four, Yanks down 5-1. Giancarlo Stanton goes boom. Solo shot to left center, 18th of the year for him. Yankees trail 5-2. Bottom seven, it gets interesting. Yankees down two, Aaron Judge at the plate, runner on first, one out. And Judge grounds into what looks to be a double play, but watch, play is stopped. Take another look at this. Catcher Sean Murphy interferes with Judge's swing. Can you believe it? So instead of an inning-ending double play, the Yanks have first and second with one out. Then Anthony Rizzo's hit by a pitch, stands up again, bases loaded, fouls the pitch off, but then points to the dugout. Why? You won't believe this. Murphy interferes again. Stanton goes to first. DJ LeMahieu comes in to score. Murphy shaking his head in disgust. Yankees trail 5-4. Next batter, Josh Donaldson. Base is loaded, and he comes through. Lines into the left for a base hit. Two runs come in to score. Yankees lead 6-5. Two batters later, Jose Trevino. Runners on second and third. Two outs. Delivers. That bounces off the wall. Two runs come in to score. Yankees would go on to score six runs in the seventh, and they win it 9-5. And you just cannot keep these Yankees down. They got the best record in baseball, and they continue to find ways to win. Yesterday was their third come-from-behind win in the past 5 days. Overall, they now have 23 comeback wins this season, most in baseball. And of those 23, 11 have come when trailing in the seventh inning or later. Well, coming up, LeBron won't have his old running mate Kyrie joining him in L.A. this season. Was that his last best shot for another crown? We'll talk about that. And what exactly is Jameis Winston doing here? Is this a recommended workout for NFL quarterbacks? I mean, is that a bar? Where are we? In a kid's playroom?
I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, we got to talk about this. We're going to talk about this when we come back on Get Up.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Let's go back to the NFL. Dan Graziano, let's run the hurry up. Catch us up on what's happening around the NFL.
Yeah, let's start in Indianapolis. Watch out for this Darius Leonard situation. Coming off of back surgery, not likely to be available for the start of camp. His availability will be watched closely this offseason, this training camp. Very, very important player for a team that has very high hopes for this season. He's had some injuries in years past. Says he feels great, but keep an eye on that as the season gets closer. 49ers continue to talk to wide receiver Deebo Samuel about a potential contract extension. This was getting touchy earlier in the offseason when he told Jeff Darlington that he wanted to be traded. But it seems like there's been a little bit of a thawing in that relationship, and the Niners are optimistic they can get a deal done. They just have some other issues to sort through financially, including Jimmy Garoppolo, their starting quarterback, who is going to be replaced, we think, by Trey Lance this year as the starter, has $24 million of salary that's not yet guaranteed, but would become guaranteed if he's on the roster by week one. So once he's recovered from his shoulder surgery and can start throwing here in a couple weeks, the 49ers hope they can interest some teams in trading for him. If not, they may have to set him loose by releasing him onto the open market.
Ooh, that would be a big blow for the 49ers, hoping to get something good for Jimmy G. So let's stop down on Jimmy G and talk about him a little bit, Dan. How robust is the market for Jimmy G?
I mean, not very. Like, it's late June, right? The time to move somebody like this would be in March before free agency, but that's right when he had the surgery. So that really put a damper on the market, and at this point, there just aren't that many teams that are in the market for a starting quarterback. You know, Carolina's still maybe fishing around, Seattle, if he gets released. But the Niners hope is that someone's situation changes, right? And now the market gets a little bigger because somebody has an injury or because somebody's situation just wasn't what they thought it was. So they're hoping that they have time to still do that.
Yeah, he's such a talented quarterback. I mean, a lot of teams would want him, but at this point, I got to imagine the 49ers' leverage is at an all-time low. Sam, do you side with conventional wisdom here that says the 49ers should move on from Jimmy G?
I do, only because of what San Francisco just said. They said that Trey Lance is their starting quarterback, and so I'm not going to deny what San Francisco already admitted. But what I would deny, or I would change a little bit, is that San Francisco does not need to be on our timeline. In our timeline, we're saying, man, it's got to be a trade. It has to happen now. No, let training camp come around. Let teams see what they have, or better yet, don't have, in their quarterback rooms when the preseason games come, when your actual practices and scrimmages come, and then the market will grow for Jimmy Garoppolo. Right now, we're all assuming that all our quarterbacks that we have in our roster are going to be great. once the real season starts, at least preseason training camp, the truth will come out and then the market will grow for Jimmy Garoppolo.
See, if Sam Acho is my GM and we're doing that, then in theory, this could go into the season. So, Dan, I wonder, as you look at this, well, I mean, then there would be the financial ramifications if that happens. So I'm thinking maybe it couldn't go that far. They have to make a choice by then.
So the salary's not guaranteed. Once he's on the roster week one, then, like any veteran, the salary becomes guaranteed because he can sue for a termination pay if they cut him and get the full salary. So they would have to do something by then, whether it's rework the contract, whether it's trade him, whether it's release him. They're not likely to be able to carry that $24 million on this year's cap and still be able to do an extension with Deebo Samuel and Nick Bosa, two guys they really want to get locked up.
But that's where it gets really interesting, right? Because really quickly, at that point, Jimmy G would have to agree to go to a reduced number, and he's not likely to do that if he wants to go.
Right, so that's why the Niners are hoping the market expands, because their ideal situation would be to trade him.
Okay, this could get very interesting. Folks, keep an eye on the clock, especially leading up to week one, to what happens with him. All right, so let's move on to this. Acho, Acho, man. It's a segment where we take a look at the trending clips and our man Sam Acho interprets them for us. So, Sam, what do you make of this guy fighting in the ring while holding a laptop and doing a Zoom call?
Yo, that is hilarious. Oh, my God. So, first of all, I would sign up to watch the Zoom. Yeah, you asked me earlier, would I get into the ring and fight? No, but I would sign up for a weekly Zoom watching people box with the green screen behind them. I'm all about it. Sign me up. Let me know the link, the password. Set me up for recurring meetings. This is great.
Wait, I love that. Why does he have the green screen? That's probably the best part.
We've all had a meeting where we felt like this.
Yes. All right. Wait, I got another one for you. Next, let's check out this person hopping on the ground without using their arms.
Yo, so first I saw somebody compare this to Squidward. I said, okay, I respect it. And then I saw the talent. Look at his right leg. Look at that right leg, left leg, right leg, left. Look at the talent. I want to go at home and try. I feel like my little kids will be going to try this when we go home. This will be the new celebration in the 2022 season. Forget the gritty. Forget all of that. We're doing this. We need to name it.
How many guys can even do this?
I think you could. This could be your warm-up, your workout.
I cannot do that. Imagine you're sitting there eating lunch, and then, like, this guy rolls
by. I know. And then, speaking of crazy, look at this. What are your thoughts on the new workout by Saints quarterback Jameis Winston? What is that?
So I got two thoughts. First of all, it doesn't look like a great look for Jameis, right? Like, the weights look fake. It's like those things you get, you blow them up, and you're like, yeah, I'm lifting all this heavy weight. Now, the counterintuitive side of this is, I have done workouts where you have those little bamboo bars where it works on your stability, right? This is working shoulder stability. This is working arm strength. But no one wants to hear that. Everyone wants to laugh, and this is worth laughing about.
Somebody on Twitter said it looks like the javelin from Revenge of the Nerds. I mean, this is, I get that you're doing this, but the last thing you should be doing is posting this. This is the kind of thing you do in the closet and don't tell anybody. I mean, this is crazy. Oh, by the way, got a bonus for
shoulder stability, arm strength, all of it.
We got a bonus for you. Over the weekend, J.J. Watt, soon to be first-time father in the fall, posted this photo on Twitter showing how he's getting his dad bod. Ready for the occasion. That's a dad bod?
Man.
Stole my idea.
No, that's not a dad bod. Nope. Put that man in 300 right now. Put that man. Y'all seen 300 where they had the little things with the. Put that man in the 300. Forget football. JJ, you had a great career, right? We were together, came out, all the stuff. Go into acting. You will make a huge living. Make a huge. You see Tom Brady making 375 on TV? Get on that TV, JJ. Trust me. That's.
All I have to say is he's shaming all of us dads. This is unfair.
Well, again, he told my idea. I was going to do that exact picture.
You were going to do it?
But now it would feel silly.
Dan.
Okay. Well, no, you can still do it.
It's never too late.
Mine's posted by Friday.
I'll get on that.
It's never too late, Dan Graziano. It is never too late. He's going to start a trend.
Or maybe it is.
I'll do it. Ryan Smith will do it. Greeny will do it.
Okay. We've taken it too far. We're good now. All right, guys. Well, coming up, we're talking basketball again. Kyrie opting in with the Nets. But is a reunion with LeBron still on the table? Who can the King add to his court? That and a lot more coming up on Get Up.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Back with you on Get Up, and let's play a little game of off-season wish list. I'll give each of you guys a team, and you'll tell me what their wish should be for the upcoming season. So, Seth, the Nets, what should their wish be?
Their big three play 60 games together so they can get ready for the playoffs to make a run. If they don't get 60 games together, they don't develop the chemistry you need. If they can get those three guys on the court for 60 games together, then the Nets have a chance to make a run.
Wow, remember when there was a time where NBA stars played 82 games? Wow, how about that? Tim, the Warriors, what should their wish list be?
Well, speaking of guys who haven't played, James Wiseman basically has not played in 3 years, right? Barely played at Memphis, basically hasn't played his first 2 years in the NBA. Let's see what James Wiseman can do this year for the Golden State Warriors. I think if they can get him on the court, see what he looks like, that to me is the number one thing for them this offseason.
That would be great. Wiseman, Kuminga, Moody, I mean, this team.
A lot of exciting young talent, but let's see it get on the court.
Yeah, he's got to get on the court. Okay, Zach, the Lakers, what should their wish be?
Talen Horton-Tucker has worked all summer on his three-point shot, and it looks good. Kendrick Nunn is healthy and is the player they thought he was going to be when they re-signed him. Look, anyone can sit here and tell you, we all know the Lakers aren't going anywhere if Anthony Davis isn't Anthony Davis again. If that happens, and I'm optimistic it will, the only way they're getting where they really want to go is if the role players around them fit. So start there.
All right, so we're talking about the Lakers, and when you think about it, let's stop down here. We're talking about Talen Horton-Tucker and Nunn coming through. And that just stuns me, considering that these Lakers were in a position a couple days ago where they thought they might get Kyrie. So now that Kyrie is not an option, Seth, where do LeBron and the Lakers go from here?
They need athleticism and shot making. I mean, wherever they can find it. It comes down to now evaluating up. And when you're in this situation, it's not where a guy is. You got to find fit guys that are athletic enough, that can make shots, that can open up the floor so LeBron can do his thing, KD can do his thing. To me, that's the whole thing. Can they find a guy on the fringe? You know, they don't have the money, so they've got to evaluate up, and they can't do it with old hats. They got to do it with the younger, more athletic bodies that can make shots, that can play 80 games.
All of that is accurate. The problem for the Lakers is they don't have the ability to do it, right? They can only sign one guy with the taxpayer's mid-level exception. It's a few million dollars. They might not be able to even bring back Malik Monk, who was probably their brightest spot last year as a guy they found. Right. So, yeah, they've got Austin Reeves, who was a nice find. Maybe they can unearth another project like him that's an undrafted rookie that can do some stuff for them. But they just don't have the flexibility to add all the pieces around them to get where they need to go. To Zach's point, if Anthony Davis is healthy, LeBron James is there, they can be a very good team. But to be a championship level team, this team just needs too much around them that they just don't have a way to get.
Wow. So, Zach, if they're not a championship level team, where does that leave LeBron in this team long term? Because I can't imagine that he's going to want to sit around for the next 2 or 3 years playing on a team that barely makes it into the playoffs.
Well, LeBron is going to tell us a lot about that because he can sign an extension starting in August. And if he does, that's great. If he doesn't, are the Lakers on the clock? We'll see. Everything I've been told is that LeBron would like to remain with the Lakers. Anthony Davis is still there. At some point, Russ's deal comes off the books. You can start retooling the roster around him so that it looks more like the roster that won the championship in 2020. And then they voluntarily dismantled it for reasons that are still unclear and baffling to me. But yeah, I mean, look, the West is loaded. It is what it is. And we always talk about the Lakers because they're the Lakers. Other than this Kyrie wild card, they just, it's this idea that they can sort of magic up a third star or whatever is just not plausible, and it's going to be like last year when it's Avery Bradley, Wayne Ellington, Kent Bazemore, Malik Monk. We'll see who hits. I mean, that's their reality.
And that's why they were the one team that was willing to do a sign and trade with the Nets for Kyrie Irving, as Adrian reported, right? Because they were the one team that was in a desperate enough situation that they had to do it. That was why they were the one team that would.
I think that's what gets me. The fact that they're on a desperation plane at this point, when now all the rest of the NBA can see. So it's not as if they're going to like hoodwink some franchise right. and get somebody great. So is there any path forward for these Lakers, as you realistically see it, for them to be at least even a top four team?
The path forward is, as Zach said, to wait. They have to get through this season with Russell Westbrook on the team.
Okay, so wait until he's gone.
Well, or turn him into something maybe at the deadline if something comes available. But they need something like this Kyrie Irving situation to come to fruition, right? Mm-hmm. Something that comes aboard out of nowhere where they can use that Russell Westbrook expiring contract to upgrade the roster.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they have to wait till he comes off the books, and maybe LeBron James doesn't extend, gets a free agency. You know, they can maneuver the salary cap then. But there's not a quick fix. There's not something you could look at and say today and say, here's how the Lakers could get from a borderline play-in team. Maybe they get into the top six to being a top four team, short of something like, you know, Kyrie Irving falling out of the sky and landing on their team, which there's just not another option like that, which, again, is why, as Adrian reported, they were the one team that was willing to do this because they didn't have much to trade and they had no reason not to take the risk.
Wow.
They have two of the top 10 players in the NBA, though. I mean, like, potentially they have two of the top 10 players in the NBA. If Russell Westbrook can find some niche role and buy into it, and they find a piece or two around, like, it's not denying, is LeBron James one of the top 10 players in the NBA?
If he's
Anthony
healthy.
Davis, yeah, is Anthony Davis, if he's healthy, obviously if he's healthy,
sure.
Is he one of the top 10 players in the NBA?
They're both.
So you've got two pieces
there,
that can lead you to a championship. Can Russell Westbrook be productive? Who knows? I mean, you guys have strong opinions on it. That's Darvin Ham's job, is to get him to buy into a role. All right, and embrace that role and champion a role that adds to winning. And then, like you guys said, you guys know better in terms of the money, but can you find one or two pieces that complement him? They did it with Caruso. They did it with that team that won a championship. Can they do that? It's possible if those two guys stay healthy and Russ buys into a role and champions a role that's not maybe the role he wants.
That graphic that just showed on the screen there with Dwight Howard, Carmelo, and Avery Bradley is the notable unrestricted free agents on the roster. That sums up where the Lakers are at, because they have to go shopping in the bargain bin to sign guys on minimum contracts to fill out this roster for 8, 9, 10 spots. It's just very hard to win when 2/3 of your team is on minimum contract.
Yeah,
we saw that last year with the Lakers.
And we learned last year, signing a bunch of guys who are 30 years and older, not going to work. We're going to see who they're going to try to find this year. And that's the West and the Lakers. Let's go to the East. And I just find this so interesting. The odds to win the Eastern Conference with Kyrie back, their odds, the Nets, dropped from +380 to +320, tied with Milwaukee for second best, only short of the Celtics. Their odds to win in the entire championship have dropped to +750, one of the five shortest odds in the entire league. Vegas can just not quit the Nets. They can't quit the Nets.
Well, neither can we.
Zach, that's true. Nets, we can't quit you. Zach, I know you're on the border of possibly quitting the Nets. Can the Nets live up to this pressure of possibly of those kinds of odds coming into this season?
I'm not quitting the Nets. The Nets on paper are awesome. I just don't care about the Vegas odds. The Vegas, like, the Nets were the championship favorites until a ridiculous time last year. Like, I don't care about the Vegas odds. I don't care. To me, it's insane that their Vegas odds are the same as Milwaukee, who's like a real basketball team that's played together and actually won a championship. But Vegas will do what Vegas does. For me, the Nets are off the board. The Nets are off my board. You can be optimistic about the Nets. You can be pessimistic about the Nets. You can be whatever you want. I want to see them play basketball. You know, basketball, the game where there's five guys, they have to pass to each other. They have to all be on the floor. Like that game that they play, that there's a basket, there's an orange ball. Ben Simmons hasn't played that game in 14 months. Does he want to shoot free throws? Does he want to drive to the rim? What role is he going to have on this team? Who is going to be on this team around those big three? To me, if you want to argue the Nets are the second best odds to win the East, that's fine. That's cool. Like, I don't really necessarily disagree with you. Me, personally, they're off my board. I just got to see it first.
The Nets have had Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving play 58 combined games their first 3 years with the Nets. Let's see them play 58 games together this season.
Yeah.
Then maybe I'll say they're the second favorite in the East. But let's see that first.
And by the way, those odds, you put them up, the Heat are fifth. I mean, when will they ever get any respect?
Well, and to Zach's point, the other four teams on that board all were in the second round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
The Nets got demolished by the Celtics in the first round in a sweep.
Yeah, it's true. Speculation. So, Seth, what do you think about these Nets living up to the pressure? I mean, right now, Zach talking about,
there's no pressure.
In Stratomatic, they look good. But at this point, on the court.
It has nothing to do with pressure. It has to do with basically being healthy and having those guys play together. Like, you know, obviously Zach and Tim just said, if you can get those guys to play together, I think they need one more perimeter defender and some type of rim protection to complement those guys. It's not just Joe Harris and Seth Curry, but I do think that there's potential, you know, and here's the deal. Potential, will it be realized? That is the question for the Nets. Do they have the potential with those three guys if they're healthy and if they're playing in a manner in which they're capable to play? We could say Ben Simmons didn't take a layup. We could say he can't make a free throw. But I'll tell you what, we could also say he's an elite defensive player. A defensive rebound is an opportunity to get in transition. We could also say that he can be a short roller and a terrific passer. And we could also say he can advance pass to Kyrie and Kyrie can then transition, make a play. So there are things he can do. It's basically, will he be on the floor to do it? And what are the things, his weaknesses? Can it get it to the point where they're functional? If they can, the Nets are going to be a dangerous team, but they've got to be on the court together. So it's not pressure. It's about, you know, developing a chemistry, developing a trust, and then developing a standard and an expectation and being held to that each and every day because they haven't been together. Championship teams have a standard. They have a culture. They have an identity. We don't know what the Nets' identity is because we haven't seen this group together.
Yeah, spoken like a true coach. Culture, identity, accountability. But real quick, put a button on it because I wonder how the relationship now is with KD and Kyrie. Kyrie brought KD there. Kyrie looking to go elsewhere. Now he's back. Will that work out?
Kyrie was looking to get a max extension from the Nets. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say he was necessarily looking to leave, right? So now he's on the Nets. I think things with them are fine.
Okay. He's back. Let's see how they perform. That's the big if. Great job on basketball, guys, today. Honestly, outstanding. And look at more basketball coming up. Big game coming up in the WNBA. And this one tonight, 7 Eastern, the Mystics, the Dream. And also on ESPN2, you see right there. That's coming up tonight. Also coming up, one of the NFL's all-time great runners back, ready to make an impact, just not in the way you expect. We'll talk about that in just a few. But first, a little sneaky Hembo time. This one for Dan Graziano, Hembo's biggest nemesis. Adrian Peterson has the most career rushing yards among active players. Who ranks second? Seems like an easy question. I'm just not sure. See if Dan can get it when we come back.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, back with a little sneaky Hembo time. A little bit of a trick question. Adrian Peterson has the most career rush yards among active players.
Is he active?
Yeah, he's sort of.
All right.
Yeah. He's active. But who's second?
To Hembo's disappointment, I was talking with my editor on the .com side, Dane, the other day about, like, you know, running backs and longevity and who's likely to pursue it. So I was looking at this list, a couple of days ago. I am pretty sure I remember that the answer is Mark Ingram.
You are correct.
Yes.
Oh, that is a good one,
yes.
Kemba.
I gotta say,
that's a good one.
But unfortunate timing for him. He did this last week. I probably wouldn't have had it.
See, I thought it was Derrick Henry, but I guess Mark
Ingram
has been around for
a while. Yeah, not yet. No. Maybe you get there.
I gotta give it to you. Let's give the scoreboard up here. Can we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can.
Rod!
You can put that up there.
Oh, yeah. My God!
Leave that up there if you want.
Yeah, let's just leave this up for the rest of the show. What do you think,
fine.
Producers? Leave it up.
The rest of the show, months,
16-13. Hembo, man. Back to the drawing board. I'm
long
sorry.
Way to go.
Ooh.
About half a year.
Ooh,
and the busy time. Him. Busy time of the year is still to come.
I'll tell you what. His mind is moving. Next time, I'm betting on Hembo. Maybe. Maybe not. Okay, let's play a little game of NFL free agent fits. And let's start with this one. Acho, what's the best fit for JPP?
The Dallas Cowboys. I love to see JPP in a Dallas Cowboys uniform. Why? Because the Dallas Cowboys just lost Randy Gregory to Denver, but they still got Micah Parsons. They still got DeMarcus Lawrence. Add a dominant Super Bowl, multi-time Super Bowl champion, and you'll have a three-headed monster again in Dallas.
Yeah, that loss to JPP to Denver probably still stinks for those Cowboys. Graziano, what's the best fit for Ndamukong Suh?
Look, he could help a lot of teams, but I like the idea of him going back to the Rams. I mean, look, they really took off last year when they got Von Miller from the Broncos as an edge rusher. He's now in Buffalo, so that defensive front could probably use it a little beefing up with some veteran presence, and he's played there before. It might be fun for him to go back and try and win that Super Bowl.
So, Acho, what's the best fit for OBJ?
Oh, it's got to be the LA Rams. Odell Beckham Jr. was peaking at the right time. The last four games of the season, he had more receptions and more yards in each of those games, and it primed up in the Super Bowl where, outside of that injury, he was on track to be Super Bowl MVP, averaging 26 yards on his catches down. I'd love to see Odell Beckham Jr. back in an LA Rams uniform next to Cooper Kupp and now the newly added receiver, Allen Robinson.
Okay, you guys just want to keep loading up for the Super Bowl winners. Can't somebody else get some love here?
Yeah, right?
Why not?
No kidding.
And so, I get Acho wants him back on the Rams. Dan, you look at OBJ. I mean, what a weapon this guy would be for so many playoff teams. What are the chances that we see him on a roster sooner rather than later?
Look, he's still coming off injury. I mean, the Super Bowl was less than 5 months ago, and he had a significant knee injury in that game. So he needs time before he can show teams what he can do. So, look, he could sign and be in someone's camp, absolutely. But it's also possible, and it might not be a terrible idea for him, honestly, to wait a little while, let part of the season unfold and see who needs him at that point.
Who do you think's his best fit?
Well, look, I'm with Acho. Like, the Rams are the best place for him, right? He loved it there. They loved him. But, like, if you look at teams that have, like, a need, there are teams that could use this kind of receiver. I mean, like, I look at the Indianapolis Colts, who look like they're primed for a big run, right? And they have Michael Pittman, who they're very excited about, young receiver. But, you know, adding someone like this would diversify that passing game a little bit for Matt Ryan. Again, once he's healthy, and I think that's the kind of team that he could, you know, he could go to and thrive. It's a quarterback he would trust, which is very important for him as well.
And another team that's looking for a Super Bowl, which is exactly what he wants. He'll take two. Now, Acho, as you look at this, and Dan mentioning, he's got to get healthy first. There's a chance he might not be on a roster week one. What do you think? Do you think he's actually rostered by week one or at least soon?
I don't think so, and I don't think that's anybody's fault. I think any team should sign Odell Beckham Jr. sooner rather than later because you know how talented he is. It's not an issue of will he be healthy. You know he's going to be healthy. I think the reason he hasn't signed yet is I think he's trying to figure out where exactly he wants to go. Obviously, there have been a lot of quarterback movements in the offseason. Obviously, as Dan Graziano just said, there may be a benefit in waiting. You might see who's a contender and who's not. But I think that Odell Beckham Jr. Is going to be on a roster. It's just a matter of time and a matter of where he wants to go.
If he does go back to the Rams, does that mean they're favored to win it all?
I think, are they not already?
Like even that, without?
Yeah, they are.
Like a solid roster. They should be in the mix.
I'm just saying
favored to win it. Would you call the Super Bowl for the Rams if they bring back OBJ?
I wouldn't because I don't believe in repeats.
Okay, there you go. There you go. See?
Outside of the 2002-2003 Patriots.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
It's a long time ago.
All right, that was a long time ago. All right,
ago.
Meanwhile, check this out, guys. Meanwhile on planet Earth, we were just talking about him a couple of seconds ago, Adrian Peterson. Guess what? He's decided to fight Le'Veon Bell. Oh. They've signed contracts for a heavyweight boxing match, if you can believe it, an exhibition on July 30th at Crypto.com Arena in L.A. The trend continues. of big-time athletes and social media stars crossing over into boxing, although they're both big-time athletes. So, guys, this got us thinking.
Yeah.
Sacho, what two athletes would you pay to see fight?
Man, I would pay to see Draymond Green fight somebody because it seems like everybody in the world, at least in the media world, is scared of Draymond Green. So put some boxing gloves on and let's see what happens.
Draymond Green, Charles Barkley. Could that happen? Let's see that happen. What do you think, Bill?
It's unlikely. I think this is like NFL offseason Mad Libs, right? Like you throw a bunch of names together and, oh, what are they going to do, box? Like it's just bizarre. I don't know. My mind got racing to get up colleagues. Like I want to see. Like I had the idea like Ryan Clark and Dominique Foxworth.
Ooh.
Like, you know, I like this. Yeah, because I could totally see them like the rules, right, from Anchorman. Like no touching of the hair or face. Like that would be, I could see the setup being really big for them. But I don't think, they love each other too much.
Hey, okay. Ryan.
Yeah.
I just want to see Greeny put some gloves on. I want to see Greeny in a boxing, little boxing thing with the shirt and the gloves. That's all I want
time
to see.
He's somebody show me.
Ryan, you can box Greeny.
I'm not boxing Greeny.
No, I don't think Greeny would show.
If that happened, Greeny wouldn't be back, and he's got to be back. You know, we can't do that to him. I won't go there. I want to go back to Dan's point. Sacho, who wins between Don Fox and RC?
Ooh, yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, who wins? You call it for us.
See, I was going to say I like RC, but Dominique is a little bit sneaky, man. Dominique, you know what I mean? Dominique, he looks like somebody who, you know, I don't really want to go against him. And so I'll have to see that battle take place before I pick a winner.
I hope they're watching.
They are. You know they are. You know they are. They'll be tweeting any second now. All right, speaking of brawls, by the way, we're going back to Sunday where bad blood boiled over in the Anaheim and Mariners game. The Angels brawled after Jesse Winker was hit by a pitch. Well, yesterday, Major League Baseball handed down punishment. Check this out. In all, 12 people received suspensions, including 7 players. The person who got the biggest hit, Angels manager Phil Nevin, got 10 games. Mariners outfield Jesse Winker got the most of any player at 7 games. He and his other 2 teammates who got suspended will appeal. Well, Kyrie, back in Brooklyn, but for how long? Does opting back in mean that he's a net long term? That sounds like a topic for First Take. And that gang's immediately going to take it up following Get Up at the top of the hour. We continue to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Title IX with the last 2 parts of our 4-part docuseries, 37 Words, about the battle for equal rights in education and athletics, the efforts to nullify its impact, and how this landmark civil rights law still resonates today. Parts 3 and 4 premiere tonight at 8 Eastern on ESPN and ESPN Plus, immediately following the premiere. And tonight, the U.S. women's national team plays the second match of their 2-game international friendly set against Colombia in preparation for the CONCACAF Women's Championship that starts July 4th. Our coverage starts 10 Eastern on ESPN and the app. Well, meanwhile on planet Earth, check out this vulture. Yes, a vulture. He flies below a paraglider, and then the vulture gets on the glider too. Sacho, yeah, check it out. You got a vulture right in front of your paraglider. Would you paraglide like this? Because I know you love to paraglide.
Dope. That's dope. I'm afraid of heights, so don't love to paraglide. This is so dope. Like, remember, like, you know what I mean? Like Noah's Ark, get the animals 2x2. Like, this is crazy. Like, Adam in the garden, crazy. Like, that's awesome. I love it.
But look at he's biting his feet. I don't know if I want that.
Aren't you
worried he's going to attack you? You're not worried about that?
No, my little one, too. My 7-year-old Caleb would love this, too. He loves animals, loves birds. We saw hawks.
Really?
We saw some hawks, so this is amazing. Yes. So, I mean, this is like, how cool is this? Like, so many people are afraid of animals. This vulture is literally chilling,
there you go,
hanging out.
That's for you, Caleb. First Take starts right now.